Hello and welcome to the National Press Theatre. Today we have with us the three leaders of Canada's opposition, Monsieur Gilles Duceppe du Bloc Québécois, Mr. Stephen Harper from the Conservative Party of Canada, and Mr. Jack Layton from the New Democratic Party of Canada. They will be speaking to us today about the upcoming session. They will be making statements and then taking questions till about 2 o'clock this session, and perhaps some questions on health care. Bonjour, bienvenue au Théâtre national de la presse. On a avec nous aujourd'hui les trois chefs de l'opposition en Parlement. On a M. Gilles Duceppe du Bloc québécois, M. Stephen Harper de la Parti conservateur du Canada et M. Jack Layton du Parti nouveau démocratique du Canada. Ils seront avec nous jusqu'aux 2 heures. Ils feront les courtes déclarations, puis par la suite prendre des questions. Puis s'il y a des gens avec les cellulaires, s'ils peuvent le fermer en ce moment, anyone with cell phones, please turn them off now.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I am obviously here today joined by Gilles Duceppe, leader of the Bloc Québécois, and Jack Layton, leader of the New Democratic Party. I'm going to make a short statement in English and French, and I think Mr. Duceppe and Mr. Layton will want to say some things as well. I am here to announce today what I hope is the first phase in cooperative efforts among the opposition parties in the upcoming Parliament. The agreement that we are announcing today will profoundly alter the operation of the House of Commons in ways that opposition parties have been demanding for years. It will make Parliament a more meaningful place for debating and deciding issues, and it will make the government more accountable between elections. These measures include making all opposition motions votable. This reflects our belief and determination that issues that should be voted on, such as international treaties, troop deployment, the government's marriage legislation, should be submitted to Parliament. Making the speeches of all members of the House, including the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Official Opposition, subject to questioning by other members. Establishing new House committees dedicated to Aboriginal affairs, to women's issues, and to issues of access of information, privacy, and ethics. Establishing representation for the various parties on the chairs and vice chairs of all parliamentary committees. Establishing a time frame in which the meetings of parliamentary committees must be held. Making all reports from those committees votable in the House itself. Transferring the appointment of deputy speakers of the House from the government to the speaker himself. And finally, establishing a definition of a confidence vote or a confidence measure. And we will be writing to the Governor General to inform her of our deliberations on this and of the need for her to consult all of the opposition leaders on this matter in a minority parliament should the government request a dissolution. These measures are responsible changes that will work in the long run and make Parliament more responsive to all Canadians. Mesdames et Messieurs, je suis accompagné aujourd'hui de Gilles Duceppe, chef du Bloc québécois, et de Jack Layton, chef du Nouveau Parti démocratique, afin d'annoncer ce qui, je l'espère, n'est que la première phase d'une coopération entre les partis d'opposition au nouveau Parlement. L'entente que nous annonçons aujourd'hui changera considérablement le mode de fonctionnement de la Chambre des communes dans le sens que les partis d'opposition demandent depuis des années. Elle fera du Parlement un forum plus significatif pour débattre des enjeux et prendre des décisions et rendre le gouvernement plus responsable entre les élections. Les mesures prévues sont, entre autres, soumettre toutes les motions de l'opposition au vote, reflétant ainsi notre conviction et notre détermination selon laquelle les questions comme les traités internationaux, le déploiement des militaires et la loi sur le mariage doivent être soumises au Parlement. Rendre les discours de tous les députés, y compris le Premier ministre et le chef de l'opposition officielle, sujet à des questions. Former de nouveaux comités de communes sur les affaires autochtones, la condition féminine et l'accès de l'information, la protection de renseignements privés, personnels et de la TIC. Et représenter les divers partis à la présidence, à la vice-présidence des comités, établir des délais pour la convocation des réunions des comités, soumettre tous les rapports du comité au vote à la Chambre des communes,
transférer le pouvoir de nomination des présidents adjoints de la Chambre des communes au président lui-même et finalement définir le loi, définir le vote de confiance. Nous allons écrire le gouverneur général pour l'informer de nos délibérations et de la nécessité de consulter tous les chefs des partis d'opposition sur cette question au sein d'un gouvernement minoritaire avant d'approuver la dissolution du Parlement. Ces mesures sont des changements responsables qui seront efficaces à long terme et qui assureront que le Parlement fonctionne mieux pour tous les Canadiens et Canadiennes.
Thank you very much. First question goes to Bill Currie.
Well, excuse me, I think Mr. Doucet.
Quelques déclarations.
Je m'excuse, Mr. Doucet.
Écoutez, durant la campagne, j'ai dit que nous défendrions les intérêts des Québécois et des Québécoises en étant responsables, rigoureux et respectueux des Canadiens et des Canadiennes. Et voilà exactement ce que l'on fait aujourd'hui en apportant cette nouvelle façon de gouverner et de faire fonctionner la Chambre. Nous agissons dans ce contexte de gouvernement minoritaire. Et cela veut dire que nous donnerons au pouvoir exécutif, quel gouvernement, sa véritable dimension, celle d'exécuter ce que décide la Chambre et non l'inverse, comme c'était trop longtemps, depuis 10 ans, avec les libéraux. Alors, voilà donc des mesures qu'on réclame depuis bon nombre d'années. Je pense, par exemple, le fait que les motions sont votables. Le Bloc a 2 occasions proposé que tous les traités internationaux soient ratifiés par la Chambre. On pourra le faire. Quand nous proposons que les rapports soient votés par la Chambre, rappelez-vous ce rapport unanime du département des ressources humaines, du ministère des ressources humaines plutôt, portant sur l'assurance-emploi, cela pourrait être fait. Alors, voilà comment nous voulons agir et je pense que c'est donné une occasion à M. Martin qui a dénoncé le déficit démocratique, une occasion en or de faire en sorte qu'il y ait plus de démocratie en cette Chambre et que les citoyens et citoyennes, tant du Canada que du Québec, soient mieux servis par ceux et celles qui ont été élus à la Chambre des communes.
Alors, les Québécois, les Québécoises, les Canadiens et les Canadiennes, dans la dernière élection, ils ont dit que notre système de politique ne marche pas comme il faut. Ils demandaient qu'il y aura des changements. Alors, nous sommes sur ce chemin maintenant. Nous sommes en train de proposer des changements dans la manière dans laquelle la Chambre des communes marche, faire leur travail jour par jour. Et c'est pour une ouverture des portes aux citoyens et citoyennes pour avoir plus des opportunités d'avoir leur point de vue exprimé dans la Chambre et dans les comités. Au même temps, nous sommes en train d'assurer que les défis importants, comme par exemple la pauvreté des femmes, le grand problème dans notre système de pension, et des autres défis des femmes dans notre société, peut-être quelque chose dans laquelle un nouveau comité permanent peut être établi pour avoir des bonnes discussions avec des groupes partout au Canada. We're very excited about the democratic transformation, perhaps modest, but nonetheless very, very positive, that the work of the three opposition parties is producing here today. There's a general agreement that Canadian politics needs to be cleaned up, and that's something we heard at the doorstep from coast to coast. And so we're proposing new structures, new committees, new processes. The review of appointments are going to be taken a much closer look at. Lots of changes in order to help open the doors of Parliament to the winds of democratic reform. In particular, we're excited about the possibility that the House of Commons would be able to vote on international treaties and on the deployment of troops internationally. We're also very pleased that in this agreement there will be a new standing committee created on women's issues, as well as a standing committee exclusively for Aboriginal affairs. It's something that's long overdue in Canada, and these reforms we think will be extremely helpful. There will also be more opportunities for members of Parliament who have been elected to bring their votes and proposals forward for a vote in the House of Commons so they can do their job in a way that produces actual results. Hours and hours of work have been done on committees that produce sometimes unanimous results that then sit gathering dust in the buildings right here on Parliament Hill. We're proposing that every time that kind of work is done, there has to be a vote in the House of Commons on whether or not action would be taken. This is the kind of reform that can be very positive. It doesn't mean there's a sudden agreement amongst these three parties on some issues where we've disagreed in the past. What it does mean is we want enthusiastic debate on these issues in the House. We don't want to be shut down by the government in the way that they have traditionally done it, particularly that they're now a minority government. Merci.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm told we have about 20 minutes for the questions, and I've already got a dozen people on the list. So if we can keep it to one question, and if there's time, we'll come back for second questions, and if we can keep both the questions and the answers short. The first person on my list is Bill Curry from CanWest.
Mr. Harper, you suggested a couple of days ago that on policy issues, the three of you might also find agreement. You mentioned certain tax cuts you might all three support. Were you not able to get agreement on that, and what other policy issues might the three of you agree on?
I simply mentioned the other day that there were commonalities in the platforms. Those things are under discussion, and they have to go under some further discussion, and we will continue discussing these things until we see the speech from the throne. But I would hope and anticipate that we'll, without compromising the things we were elected on, we'll find some things where jointly we can put some pressure on the government.
Okay. Tonda McCharles, Toronto Star.
Mr. Harper, and for the other leaders as well, if you could address the question. You said that you'd be asking the Governor General to consult with all of you should the government decide to dissolve Parliament. To what extent have you agreed to ask the Governor General to allow you three to form a government, if that were the case?
Well, that would be extremely hypothetical. There's the reason for this letter. There's been some, I think, informal chitter-chatter around the Hill in the last few years that if a prime minister were weakened either by his own party or defeated in the House, that he could just automatically call an election. That's not our understanding of how the constitutional system works, particularly in a minority parliament. If the government is defeated because other opposition parties agree on some measures, or perhaps even members of the government party agree on some of those measures, the Governor General should first consult widely before accepting any advice to dissolve Parliament. So I would not want the Prime Minister to think that he can simply fail in the House of Commons as a route to another general election. That's not the way our system works.
I would say exactly the same, and I think that exactly what happened in the past also when there's a minority government. So it's just the exercise of a democratic rule, I will say, that the Governor General should use before making a decision. But in no way we're a coalition, and we won't be a coalition very clearly. I think there's great differences concerning our point of views on a lot of issues. But concerning the way those issues should be debated, we do agree on that. We agree on how to disagree. To have a very democratic debate in the House instead of having measures imposed by the government without any discussion, like it happened too often in the House concerning, as an example, international treaties.
There's been a kind of an arrogance that has set in over the decade of this government that most Canadians have noticed one way or another. We saw it most recently this past summer when a change was made to the NORAD agreement, opening the door to missile defense. No debate or discussion in the Parliament of Canada. Despite the fact that it was well known that this was going to be coming up, such a debate could have happened in the spring before the election was called, but the government decided not to do it. It's a good example. We're not proposing here anything that's anything different than constitutional practice defines. We're simply writing to the Governor General to just simply open the door to the kind of conversation that clearly should happen according to constitutional precedent if a minority parliament were to fall. It's also not the first time this has been done. In the mid-1980s, before the speech from the throne, the Lieutenant Governor of Ontario was presented with a letter from the two opposition parties, very much along the same lines. And indeed, in that particular case, they ended up forming a government and doing some work together for a period of time. The likelihood of that happening here, I think, is rather considerably less, given that the points of view of the political parties are, in some cases, very, very different. However, what we're working on is the assumption that the Governor General should, at a minimum, consult with the members, the leaders of the opposition parties, if the Liberal government were to come forward and request a dissolution of the House because confidence had been lost.
Thank you. Daniel Lessard, Radio-Canada.
Je voudrais poser la question aux trois, mais à commencer par vous, M. Harper. Est-ce que l'idée d'une entente particulière avec le Québec la semaine prochaine sur la santé, est-ce qu'une idée comme cela vous agace?
Non, pas du tout. On parle ici, la santé, c'est une juridiction tout à fait, presque tout à fait provinciale. C'est nécessaire, je dis à plusieurs reprises pendant ma carrière, c'est nécessaire que le fédéral respecte la juridiction des provinces. Et pour moi, ça devrait vouloir dire la possibilité des ententes particulières avec n'importe quelle province. Et j'encourage, je comprends que c'est la position de tous les premiers ministres, et j'encourage le gouvernement fédéral d'adapter une telle position réaliste.
Écoutez, en tant là, que porte-parole de bon nombre de Québécois et de Québécoises, surtout depuis le 28 juin dernier, le Bloc appuie totalement la position du gouvernement du Québec, qui est largement appuyée à travers tout le Québec par les deux autres partis à l'Assemblée nationale, le PQ et la DQ. Aujourd'hui, par les différents intervenants dans le domaine de la santé, incluant les centrales syndicales. Donc, il y a unanimité au Québec pour appuyer les demandes que le Québec fait à Ottawa. Alors, donc, je pense que Paul Martin, lui-même élu au Québec, doit prendre acte de ça et régler absolument ce problème de la santé, qui ne peut être réglé autrement qu'en abordant et en réglant la question du déséquilibre fiscal.
Depuis longtemps, la position du NPD, c'était que la flexibilité est absolument nécessaire dans notre système de fédéralisme. Et c'est intéressant de voir que les premiers ministres NPD à Saskatchewan et à Manitoba ont indiqué leur appui pour cette approche. Et c'est quelque chose avec laquelle nous sommes vraiment en accord.
D'accord. Marnie Kagan, CBC.
Ralph Goodale announced today that he'll be launching a review of how the Liberals forecast things like the surplus. And I wonder what you think of that, given concerns that they tend to lowball that figure.
Well, I don't know if I want to get into that much today, but, you know, I think we're all seeing now what I think we've all been saying for some time, is that these guys put out estimates that shouldn't be believed, and they're now confirming that, and I don't think any amount of I don't think we need a Royal Commission to resolve that particular problem.
If I could just add, what we should have are votes in the House of Commons on how the surpluses are to be spent. Every year after year, we have the fall spectacle of the big surplus showing up, which should be described as the inability of the Finance Department to properly account Canadians' money that have been sent to Ottawa for proper disposition. We know they don't spend it properly. We've seen the scandals. But they can't even count the dollars correctly. And we think that debates in the House of Commons over how this kind of money should be spent should be a priority. Because every year in the budget, we're told what we can't do as Canadians. And then in the fall, we're told, oh, guess what? We have all this extra funding. It tends to be put immediately against the debt. And that's not the priority for Canadians exclusively, that's for sure.
I think the problem is certainly not that they can't count the dollars. The problem is they're hiding the reality to the population and to the provinces. And we need an open debate on that in the House. And with the new rules we're proposing, we'll certainly have an open debate on the state of the finance in Canada.
Okay. Sylvain Larocque, Presse Canadien.
Monsieur Duceppe, d'abord, si vous avez parlé aux libéraux de vos plans avec les autres partis d'opposition, et ensuite, vous aviez, dans votre entourage, on évoquait la question d'avoir une entente entre les trois partis d'opposition sur le déséquilibre fiscal et sur l'assurance-emploi, notamment, c'est pas dans l'entente d'aujourd'hui. Est-ce que vous auriez pas dû le faire alors qu'on est à trois semaines de la reprise des travaux?
Comme vous dites, nous sommes à trois semaines de la reprise des travaux. Alors, il y a trois semaines pour travailler, n'est-ce pas? D'une part, je n'ai pas parlé avec Paul Martin de ce que nous proposerions ce matin. Je l'ai rencontré jeudi passé et je lui ai dit que dans une semaine, nous annoncerions exactement ce que nous faisons aujourd'hui. Et on doit fonctionner comme ça par respect des uns et des autres. Là, on travaille ensemble sur un certain nombre de changement au fonctionnement de la Chambre. Donc, M. Martin est mis au courant aujourd'hui et j'espère qu'il apprécie, puisque ça va dans le sens de ce qu'il dénonçait, ce déficit démocratique. Or, on lui donne une belle occasion de prouver que ce n'était pas que des mots. Deuxièmement, dans le passé, il y a eu des propositions, des motions proposées par le Bloc portant sur le déséquilibre fiscal, appuyées par tous les partis d'opposition, également sur une caisse autonome d'assurance-emploi, appuyée par tous les partis d'opposition, centrales syndicales et pratiquement toutes les organisations patronales. Or, pour nous, aujourd'hui, on parle seulement des règles qui permettront d'avoir ces débats, puisque toutes les motions seront votables désormais. Ça, c'est un changement important. Donc, les motions proposées par chacun des partis d'opposition devront être votées, comme chacun des projets de loi. Ça change drôlement la dynamique de la Chambre. Et vous verrez sûrement, je ne vous annonce pas dans quel ordre ça arrivera, ni quand. Ça, c'est question de stratégie, puis c'est pas aujourd'hui qu'on va en faire publiquement comme ça. Ça ouvre dans 3 semaines. On a le temps d'y voir. Mais les règles que nous proposons font en sorte que ces choses-là pourront être débattues, font en sorte que lorsque l'on voulait débattre de la guerre en Irak, ça aurait dû prendre un vote. Même chose sur la modification de NORAD, et ainsi de suite. Donc, voyez ce que ça impliquera.
Je peux ajouter que c'est la responsabilité du gouvernement de proposer un programme à la Chambre des communes. Ce n'est pas la responsabilité de l'opposition. Nous aurons des discussions, évidemment, mais je m'attends à des telles discussions avec le gouvernement. Ça ne passe pas jusqu'à maintenant. C'est intéressant. Mais pour des choses aujourd'hui, je pense que ces règlements, ces changements de processus parlementaire, c'est nécessaire d'avoir un accord de l'opposition pour que le gouvernement comprenne qu'il ne peut pas diviser l'opposition sur une telle réforme où les droits des citoyens, des parlementaires sont très importants.
Okay. Randall Palmer, Reuters.
Mr. Harper, you say that only global votes in your proposal on the budget and main estimates and the speech from the throne will be votable. Is it not possible for you then to just take control of these speeches and budgets and main estimates by making such substantial amendments that that the government basically loses control of their program? And separately, can you also explain how treaties would be ratified? Is this automatic, that it would be automatically coming to the House of Commons, or would you have to have an opposition motion?
Okay, on the first question, which I'm not sure I fully understood, let me just get the first question, which was that really I think what we're doing here is we're defining what a confidence measure is, and we're defining it narrowly. It's not to say there aren't other things that can be voted on. Ultimately, there will be a vote on the speech from the throne, and that is a confidence measure. But if the government doesn't choose to consult the opposition parties on its program, I think it will inevitably face amendments, some of which may be successful. In the past, the leader of the opposition and the leader of the third party have always had responsibilities of proposing amendments to the throne speech. So, you know, what we're doing here is simply limiting the government's ability to declare every single measure a confidence item. On second question, just refresh me quickly. Oh, the treaties. Yeah, we talked about the possibility of actually amending the standing orders to make this compulsory. We concluded that probably can't be done, but what we have done is by virtue of making all opposition day motions votable, we've made it possible for any one of us to put those on the table at any time. So under the circumstances, it will obviously be very advisable to the government to understand that it is going to face a vote on any contentious issue like that where it exercises executive power. And as Jack said earlier, we will be looking to do the same things on parliamentary appointment, on the order and council appointment process. The government should be aware that through greater responsibility and power of committees, we will ensure that controversial appointments are ultimately vetted.
J'ajouterais à cela que le Bloc a déjà présenté une motion à 2 occasions. Disant que tous les traités internationaux devraient être soumis à la Chambre pour ratification. On peut rapporter exactement cette proposition. Et en recevant un appui majoritaire de la Chambre, le gouvernement, si jamais les libéraux sont contre ça, serait curieux, puisqu'il parle de déficit démocratique qu'il faut éliminer. Je ne vois pas comment on pourrait être contre l'avis majoritaire de la Chambre et de faire participer les députés à des décisions aussi importantes que la paix ou la guerre, par exemple. Or, ou encore des conventions fiscales avec certains paradis fiscaux. J'imagine qu'on devrait être pour la plus large expression des points de vue de chacun des députés et respecter la volonté de la Chambre. C'est ça, éliminer le déficit démocratique. Alors, M. Martin devra faire face à cela.
Okay. Yes, just to add, why should the government control the agenda of the House of Commons entirely itself? It didn't receive a majority of votes from Canadians, and it didn't receive a majority of seats. Therefore, there should be some process of collaboration, debate, voting amongst the parties, amongst the members of the House of Commons, to determine what the direction ought to be. And so the notion that that other parties might bring forward ideas, try to facilitate the voting that should be taking place on key issues, should be seen as taking control away from the government, I think is misstating, if I may say so, the issue. I think the issue is that Canadians did not elect a majority government. They elected a group of parties who have to find ways on different issues at different times of working together to advance the interests of people across the country. And I think you're seeing today an early example of how that might be done. It's nobody's trying to claim this is something huge or grand, but it's significant, and it's a step-by-step process that I think Canadians would be welcoming.
Okay. I've got a lot of people left on the list, and I'd like to try to get everyone on quickly if possible, and perhaps if our leaders can stay with us a little bit longer. When they have to go, please signal to me. Emmanuel Latraverse, TVA.
Comment est-ce que vous avez l'intention? C'est toutes des réformes qui vont demander des changements à différents règlements de la Chambre. Comment avez-vous l'intention de les faire adopter en bloc? Est-ce que vous allez essayer de le négocier avec le gouvernement? Vous allez profiter de vos journées d'opposition? Comment avez-vous l'intention de procéder? Parce que c'est bien beau de vouloir ça, mais c'est pas encore fait.
Mon conseil au gouvernement est d'adopter ces changements immédiatement. Si le gouvernement refuse, il y a évidemment une majorité de l'opposition qui est prête de faire ça, et nous avons l'intention d'employer la première occasion, la première journée de l'opposition pour faire adopter ces changements.
Bon, écoutez, il y a différentes formules qui peuvent être utilisées. Là, on verra ce qui est le plus efficace, le plus rapidement possible. Mais M. Martin, je le répète, qui a, les premiers jours qu'il a été premier ministre, nous a parlé qu'il voulait éliminer le déficit démocratique. Voilà une belle occasion de régler la question.
OK. Rosemary Thompson, CTV.
I'm just wondering what this newfound cooperation is going to mean next week for the First Minister's Conference. Have you got any kind of joint strategy going into next week?
The short answer is we always are chatting among ourselves and with the Prime Minister about what we'd like to see. We do have, as we saw today on the issue of different agreements with different provinces, we share some common ground. But I think we're all at the moment waiting to see what exactly the Prime Minister is going to propose. I'm not aware of him having made any intentions known to us or at this point to other provincial governments. So I think we'll just be watching and responding as is appropriate.
De notre côté, il y a trois porte-paroles du Bloc qui tiendront une conférence de presse demain. M. Ménard à la Santé, Bergeron aux Affaires intergouvernementales et Loubier aux Finances. J'ai pour ma part rencontré la plupart des centrales syndicales au Québec. J'ai parlé à M. Landry, j'ai parlé à M. Charest hier. Or, donc, je pense que ce front commun au Québec, là, ce consensus, unanimité est dégagée et nous faisons les porte-parole de cette voix du Québec ici à Ottawa.
Évidemment, il y a la possibilité que dans un dossier comme la santé, on peut trouver quelques positions en commun, mais il y aura des autres positions qui sont différentes. Nous autres, nous opposons la privatisation, par exemple. The dynamics of the meeting. We've asked for observer status. We have been informed that we are being given a little room. I'm sure it's nice with a television set, and so we're most appreciative. It wasn't exactly what we had in mind in terms of the way the House might work, and that the consultations would take place. But we'll have to take that up, I guess, in the House of Commons
And is the little room supposed to fit all three of you in it?
No, this is just Mr.
Lee. This is just my room, apparently.
J'attends toujours la réponse.
Okay. Nicole Chiasson, Radio-Canada.
Oui, vous avez une entente sur la forme. Est-ce que vous avez des ententes sur le fond? Et est-ce qu'on peut parler de coalition?
Coalition, rigoureusement, là, ça veut dire qu'il y a des partis qui s'unissent, par exemple, une coalition gouvernementale, il y a des ministres venant de différents partis. Ça, il n'est pas question. Il n'est pas question non plus de modifier nos plateformes respectives. Trois partis qui sont autonomes, qui diffèrent sur beaucoup de points de vue, mais qui s'entendent pour débattre les questions de la façon la plus démocratique possible. C'est ça que l'on change aujourd'hui. Et on verra dans l'avenir sur différents enjeux, et je l'ai dit moi tout au long de la campagne, ça sera enjeu par enjeu. Et ça veut dire qu'il arrive dans la vie que pour des... même à partir d'intérêts non seulement différents, mais divergents, il peut y avoir des objectifs communs. Et le Bloc a réalisé 8 fronts communs, ou à peu près, dans les 4-5 dernières années, avec des gens qui ne pensaient pas la même chose, mais qui avaient un objectif commun. C'était le cas de la Caisse d'assurance-emploi, des traités internationaux. Même si on n'aurait pas voté de la même façon sur tel traité ou tel autre, il n'en demeure pas moins qu'on s'entend tous pour dire qu'on devrait voter. On votera à gauche, à droite ou au centre, mais on doit voter. C'est là une différence majeure avec le point de vue libéral. Jusqu'à ce jour.
Il y a plusieurs d'autres questions que nous allons discuter. Comme je l'ai dit, certaines questions, nous avons des objectifs en commun. Aussi, il y a d'autres aspects du processus parlementaire. Par exemple, le processus pour la nomination aux agences du gouvernement, la clôture, les pétitions. Il y a d'autres choses que nous avons l'intention d'envoyer à nos chefs de chambre pour discuter. Ce n'est pas une coalition. Mes employés m'ont demandé qu'est-ce qu'on appelle cet arrangement. Je dis que ce n'est pas une coalition. Ce sont des partis d'opposition qui ont de la coopération. Peut-être c'est une co-opposition.
Alors, c'est impossible d'imaginer que ces trois partis, avec leurs programmes tout à fait différents, peuvent faire une coalition comme on trouve dans les autres pays de temps en temps. Il y a des politiques tout à fait différentes. Mais dans la question de comment la Chambre des communes va marcher pour tous les Canadiens et les Canadiennes, on peut trouver des choses que nous voulons... changer ensemble. Okay. C'est tout.
We're getting near the limit of time that we have. If I wonder if we could make a deal. If I close the list, I've got 6 people left who have not asked a question yet. Will you take those 6 questions and then, but nobody else can join the list?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay. Peter Chura, Chum?
Sure. Should I ask the names first?
Coming after you, Harper.
Actually, that's a good way to end up with the list getting longer. Peter Chura, Chum?
Gentlemen, given what you've outlined about your ability potentially to introduce amendments to fundamental things like a throne speech and a budget and even dictate the timing of the next election potentially, couldn't Canadians get the impression that you're trying to run the government here even though you've lost the election?
I think that we're acting as a majority. We do represent the majority of the population, both in Canada and Quebec. Number of seats and also the percentage of the votes. Having said that, we're not the government. But democracy is not only government. It's representing the people who elected other people to represent them. Exactly what we're doing today. The government is the executive power. They will execute what the House will decide.
It is the parliament that's supposed to run the country, not just the largest party and the single leader of that party. I guess that's a criticism that I've had and that we've had and that most Canadians have had for a long, long time now. So this is an opportunity to start to change that. Look, it still is, the government is the government, and it still is, first and foremost, their responsibility and their opportunity to propose legislation, to propose a program to Parliament and to the country. And after 9 months, I'm waiting with great anticipation.
Look, we're trying to help fix the parliamentary system, and there have been countless studies and recommendations along the lines of the those we've proposed today that have been made in the past. We're just trying to bring them forward and make them happen. We realize we agree on these changes and that we have the votes in order to make it happen. Our invitation is to Mr. Martin to join with us, look at the list, get on board, bring them to the House himself, and we can get on with business. I think it may be a little surprising to Canadians to see some level of cooperation, but that's because we've had 10 years of a pretty cynical situation. And I think it's a breath of fresh air, quite frankly, that this is happening.
Okay. Bruce Campion-Smith, Toronto Star.
Question, Mr. Harper. You were talking earlier in the week that in the early stage, it won't be the opposition party to bring down the government for the government itself. I mean, how real do you think that possibility is over the next year that the first sign of a spike in the polls that they'll take themselves out?
Well, I guess our fear would be, and it would be consistent with Liberal behavior in the past, if they get a spike in the polls, they'd want to find some excuse to call an election. But I think they should already learn by the last one, you can't just use a spike in the polls to call an election. I think they've got to understand that Canadians want to see the Parliament work, that Canadians want to see the parties work together to make positive changes to process and to substance, and that they have first and foremost a responsibility to propose some kind of a program that Canadians would accept. And, I think there's a lot of latitude for them to do that. I think that's how they should look at governing, not trying to figure out how to get defeated in order to call an election.
And why would we be seeing a spike in the polls? Where's the action? What we've seen is the reopening of the scandals again. I don't think that's going to produce a spike. And they've backtracked on cities. People across the country feel they've been betrayed on the housing and transit investment, the gas tax, you go through the list. They're signing agreements with George Bush's administration. I don't think that's going to produce any spike anywhere. They're backing off on child care and saying it's now in second place and somewhere down the road. Maybe there's a stampede out there that we haven't heard, but I think this notion of a spike in the polls is perhaps, let's just use the word hypothetical.
In a word, I would say that we expect the government to be as responsible as we are and as we will be.
Okay. Jane Tabor, Globe and Mail.
Yeah, you mentioned that the speech from the throne would be a confidence motion. Are you saying that if the government doesn't consult with you on what it's going to put in the speech from the throne, that you could put forward a motion of non-confidence on that on the speech?
No, I'm simply saying, Jane, we're defining what a confidence motion is. Historically, a confidence motion was understood to fall onto a narrow range of items, and that's how we've tried to define it. In recent years, the government has tried to say it's on everything. It's on every line of every bill, every opposition day, every amendment to every motion. And that's, obviously we're trying to get away from that. As I said earlier, it's the responsibility and historic tradition that the leader of the opposition, the leader of the third party, put an amendment and a sub-amendment into the speech from the throne. And I anticipate that we will do that, and we'll see what happens, because a majority in the House may want some change to the speech from the throne. Doesn't mean the government has to reject these measures. The government always has the capability of looking at what the majority of members of the House of Commons want and deciding to make that part of its program.
And don't let us forget that the throne speech is a declaration of intention. We're not deciding all of each issue proposed in the throne speech. We might agree on some and disagree on others. Then we'll decide when those will be votable to vote for or against, depending if we're for or against. So that'd be another way of governing, as I said, during a campaign, and we'll prove it at the very beginning of the House.
When I met with the Prime Minister, I said that we'd like to see in the throne speech a plan for achieving Kyoto, that we'd like to see, or at least the indication that it's coming, that we would be prepared to support an ambitious child care program if it was brought forward, that we wanted to see the investment in the cities and the gas tax flow, we laid out in that meeting what we'd like to see in the speech from the throne. So the Prime Minister now has the opportunity to compose that speech from the throne in consultation with ourselves and with the other parties based on the advice that he's received, and we'll vote accordingly, depending on what goes in and what doesn't.
Bruce Ward, Canadian Press.
Mr. Harper, you spoke of vetting order and council appointments. Are you claiming a veto on order and council appointments? And if you are, there are hundreds of them. How do you handle that?
It's clearly under our present system to make such appointments is clearly in the executive power. What we've all agreed in principle is that already Parliament does have, the committees do have authority to call appointees for hearings, for examination. I think we've all agreed in principle that the power of committees over appointments should be widened. We have to have some ongoing discussions, and we've asked our House leaders, we'll be asking our House leaders to have ongoing discussions on how we could realistically widen those powers. Obviously, we're not looking to make to have a Parliament or opposition parties make every order and council appointment. I think what we want to make sure is that the patronage factory that has been the Liberal Party for the past 11 years is put out of operation, and we get a better set of order and council appointments generally.
We've watched as patronage has become the modus operandi of the Liberal machine. Don't worry, we'll take care of you. Is the attitude. And when it comes, for example, where I'm particularly concerned about MPs and former MPs and how that whole system works. And we think that if there was the possibility, for example, that the names that are being brought forward before they actually get confirmed in their position could be known and discussed in some way, possibility of hearings, this would be an interesting way of perhaps causing the government to reconsider whether they could really carry on with their past practices. And I don't think people are happy with the past practices. Exactly how we'll go about it, and there's a number of options that we've been looking at and that others have looked at, is something that we're having ongoing discussions about.
Okay. Maurice Godin, Radio-Canada.
Vous avez une majorité pour la première fois depuis 25 ans. Pourtant, vous voulez circonscrire la question d'une motion de confiance. De quoi vous avez peur? Est-ce que vous avez peur que le gouvernement vous prenne au mot et vous oblige à le défaire et à aller en élection? Est-ce que, en d'autres mots, est-ce que vous ne voulez pas d'élection rapide? Et deuxièmement, si vous êtes si confiant, est-ce que vous en faites un vote de confiance de ce package que vous présentez aujourd'hui?
Premièrement, je pense que la population s'attend que ce Parlement marche. Il ne veut pas une élection immédiate. Je pense que c'est clair. L'idée que le Premier ministre ne peut pas décider que chaque vote au Parlement est un vote de confiance est quelque chose que la grande majorité des Canadiens et des partis de l'opposition demandent, exigent depuis longtemps. Et je suis confiant qu'une définition plus claire de confiance est quelque chose que le gouvernement doit accepter.
Moi, j'ajouterais sur cela que ce que l'on apporte ici, c'est quelque chose qui existe à Westminster, qui est le Parlement maire depuis longtemps, ça existe. Or, s'inspirer de ce qui est bon dans le parlementarisme britannique pour faire en sorte qu'il y ait plus de débats démocratiques, je pense que c'est excellent. C'est pas question d'avoir peur. Si une élection est déclenchée, supposons que ça aurait été sur la guerre en Irak, on n'aurait pas changé de position, nous. Et on aurait cru que ça, c'est une question de confiance. C'est au Parlement de décider si c'en est une ou si c'en est pas. Or, il y a sur trois sujets que c'en est une, inévitablement. D'autres pourraient être décidés par la majorité. C'est ça, exercer le pouvoir démocratique. Deuxièmement, si on a fait une question de confiance, bien, écoutez, on est majoritaire. Ce qu'on vous annonce là, c'est que majoritairement, ça sera adopté. Donc, on sait d'avance que ça sera adopté.
And the last question goes to Kathleen Harris from Sun Media.
Just wondering if any of you have discussed these proposed changes with the Prime Minister, and if not, what are you anticipating in terms of his response, given his purported commitment to democratic reform?
Well, as I think all of us have said in different forms earlier, just what you said, the Prime Minister has expressed repeatedly a desire to solve the democratic deficit, and he has, in perhaps fairly vague terms, endorsed much of what we're saying today. We have not discussed this with him. I think it's important off the bat that the opposition parties not be divided on issues of process. We know full well we'll be divided on some of the issues of substance that we will vote on later. But we are all entitled to have votes. We're all entitled to have Parliament decide. So I think we've put forward here some changes that are reasonable that, frankly, at least in our case, and I think in the case of the other parties, have been changes we proposed for a very long time, are things that we would be prepared to live with if we were in government. So I will anticipate the Prime Minister would receive them well and will move quickly to adopt them. As I say, if he does not, there's certainly an easy mechanism by which we can have them adopted.
I met him last Thursday, and he told me he wants the Parliament to work and also to have more democracy in the Parliament. So I told him that within a week, what we'll announce together will certainly please him. So I'm sure he's happy today.
It's a little less work that his staff have to do.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you very much, and a particular thank you to Mr. Doucette, Mr. Harper, and Mr. Layton for agreeing to take a few more questions. Thank you.
C'est vraiment très concret. On a un sujet premier.